It's time to lead the people. The show for aspiring leaders at every level. If you want to boost your self-confidence, get noticed, and maximize your impact by leading others, you're in the right place. I'm your host, Matt Pepsel. Ready to lead? Follow me. My very special guest has 2 decades of experience in coaching, talent development, and people operations. She leads learning and organizational development for Innova Solutions, a global digital transformation solutions provider. She's worked with renowned global firms, including IBM, Global Foundries, Amazon, and Deloitte, driving talent programs for over 50,000 employees. Chief Talent Officer recently named her the 2023 Talent Trailblazer of the Year. She is Akshata Manyan. Welcome to the show, Akshata.
Thank you, man. Thank you very much. Looking forward to this.
I am too. I shared in your introduction that you worked at Deloitte and you worked at Amazon before coming to Innova. And it strikes me, knowing these companies a little bit as I do, that learning must have been strategic. You know, a lot of times we think about learning in a little bit more of a tactical way. But am I reading it right that the companies that you've been a part of have looked at learning with kind of a strategic lens?
Absolutely. Very strategic, right? It defines the company for what they stand and who they are and how they serve their clients or the community even. And so much so that I would say it is strategic is one word. I would also say established. Mm-hmm. And that plays a big role, right? In terms of how seasoned and established the entire learning function is, speaks a lot to how, you know, you source talent, attract talent, and retain talent. That's a huge, it's a well-oiled process. That's how I kind of look at learning in large companies. There are a lot of advantages to it, absolutely. And mostly that it is strategic and it is well thought out. It's proactive and it is consciously proactive. A little different, I would say, in a company that's not that well established or that is growing, that's much more of a starter mindset. And I also think that Amazon in particular, I want to call out, is they have a day one mindset. You know, every day is a day one. They like to keep their founder mindset and attitude. And I did find that it is strategic, but they also, companies that tend to go above and beyond to look at learning in a less established way and more of an experimental manner, it tends to be a lot more fun and a lot more impactful.
I can totally see that. And I hadn't really thought of it until you were just relating that. It's almost like you could ask the senior most leader the question, what if we didn't learn anything new in the next 3 years? What would happen? And in those organizations, it would be devastating to think like, wait a second, if we just froze everything we know right now, all our capabilities, we didn't get better at anything, that would be a real problem for those companies.
Yeah. And also not taking it for granted, because what today you might have an answer and a year down the lane, the answer would be different. How do you constantly seek the answer is also important.
Yeah. And I think any organization that has competitive forces, market forces, you know, the nature of the workforce changes, like this is when we're really happy that we've got a learning function, as you mentioned, that's established. I love that you added that in addition to just being strategic, which even that's, you know, high praise.
Yes, absolutely.
But now when you had joined Innova, you had a relatively, I would call it a relatively small team, and then it was just you. So my question is, that counts as small. And so tell us a little bit about like what's the size of your team now? Where, how do you do your work? Just give us a flavor of what the learning function that you lead looks like today.
Yeah. So we are 41. So we are at least 40 people stronger today. And it was a conscious decision, right? To kind of think about it, when I first started at Innova, my initial thought process and mission was to set up a executive coaching practice more focused on leadership development for the C-suite and you know, our top sales leaders. That was the initial thought process. But I feel like every single month that I was with Innova, I had a new portfolio, which was technical learning, more of functional learning, LMS, tools, insights, metrics, delivery, learning delivery. So we did start gaining a whole new set of needs. And I think it comes a lot from a good, strong team that I started putting together right from the beginning. And very intentionally, I chose people not necessarily strong with a learning background, but more, sociology background, anthropology, or somebody who were recruiters who were interested in learning. People who are passionate about really making a difference in somebody's life. That's all we really look for. And someone who had good design capability, someone with very good articulation, some people with great instructional design background. So we got a good mix of... it was a mix and match is what I would call it. And of course, we had 7 acquisitions in this time frame. So we did get a lot of new talent from new companies, but we had to select the right team for what we now call as learning and organizational development, because we do the entire bandwidth of all of this for a very large global company. So it's been a fun experience. The team, we all kind of grew together in the company. We were very tight-knit. We learn a lot from each other. And so much so that we have now moved on from 1 to 41, one business unit to actually supporting 13 different departments globally. And of course, right, kind of keeping in mind Mexico, India, Taiwan, of course, the US, and looking to move more into Asia as well. And also more client facing. So I feel like, you know, every day there's a new opportunity, new challenge. It keeps the team extremely engaged, not to mention busy.
I think when you have a busy, capable leader and a busy, capable team, we just find more and more problems in the business and we just push them right over there toward you. Hey, could you help us out with this? And I could see where over time we just started building up this critical mass and just attracting all these new projects.
Absolutely. Good work brings more good work.
I'm really impressed with this. Sometimes we call our approach a skinny resume. So maybe you don't have a traditional learning background, but like you said, you're passionate about learning. You want to help make a difference in people's lives. Maybe you've got a good behavioral fit for the role that you're asking them to do. And you just took people on and just kind of showed them about and taught them about the learning function so they could get good at it. That's impressive.
And the fact is, and I also believe this is true across the world and globally, anywhere in any company, is there are no set learning skills. Maybe instructional design, yes, right? Like maybe some, you have specialized skills within LNOD, yes. But, you know, you can coach people. You can really empower your team members to get and kind of collaborate to kind of create the vision for the team. We've had now 10 promotions in the last 2 years. So we have, you know, internally developed our team members to take on leadership roles and cross skills, right? So if you are a learning business partner, you also should learn project management. And if you are a learning delivery person, one of our facilitators or trainers, we expect them to learn a little about Articulate, learn about instructional design, right? That's part of their goals as well. So we create a very collaborative yet accountable culture to develop ourselves.
I didn't mention it at the top, but you're a Columbia University certified executive coach. It seems a little unfair that a person would say, oh yeah, my manager happens to be a highly seasoned executive coach. No wonder you have so many promotions taking place in your team.
I wish I could coach a lot, but I think the real magic is finding the will. If anybody who has the will to want to do more, they'll always find a way. And our job is only to enable that.
I like that a lot. Now, I think that you shared a few of the numbers, but I'll give us some even more staggering. I don't know how you deal with these numbers. 10,000 employees. You mentioned 41 team members. I know you have 72 in-house courses that you've developed, which is incredible. And you mentioned all the M&A activity. You've got 7 LMSs. Some companies don't have any. You know, how do you keep all of this size and scope and your global scale and all these mind-boggling numbers? How do you keep it all straight?
It's 88 courses now, by the way. Whoa. That's our beta number.
We've only been on the air for like 10 minutes. This is growing.
It is growing. And it's about, again, the accountability culture. It actually goes a lot back to what Innova is too, right? And think about it. We did 7 acquisitions in 15 months. That's the culture here. So how do you understand what the business needs? As long as you're always asking, what does the business want? And you're really driving results to that, you will find a lot of active sponsors who will help you along the way. Because in order to do this, you need the business to help you. No one person can pull this off. Not a team of 41. You need an army. And which we did as a thanks to our business sponsorship. And that's because we were driving in results for the company, for the business, for the departments. So that's one absolute must. Every single meeting that we have, the question that everybody has to ask before they start anything is, what business problem am I trying to solve? And maybe that's a little of my consulting background. I have to always have everybody ask that question. But beyond that, it also comes down to, you know, scale is one. And let's take the 7 different LMSs. With all of this, you know, we're trying to streamline it. So we've taken all the 7 LMSs and we've kind of streamlined it into now kind of reducing it and, you know, merging it all together. So we're now at 3. So we did kind of streamline it all. And we are in the back end, the entire company is moving to Oracle Fusion. So we're yet again going to move to another tool. So the idea is, how do we also hire people who are flexible, who are agile, who are not overwhelmed? And if they are, we look out for early signs to really coach them and support them. Like, it's okay, you know, make mistakes. We're all making mistakes in this process. You know, the 77 courses that you talked about, 72, which is now 88. Obviously, many of the courses were not right the first time. So we have to constantly look at, you know, improving it, making it better. So we had 72 courses. It's 88 now because we're doing this to a next level. What's level 2? What's level 3? So we have a team that's constantly delivering and another team that's constantly looking at how do we scale it to the next level. Mm. And the partnership between these two teams is what helps us kind of drive all this these numbers.
Here's one of the things I learned early on when it comes to leadership. The best leaders know how to build trust and motivate their people. And there are two ways you can do this. The first is to spend a whole bunch of time you don't have fumbling around and trying to figure out what makes the people around you tick. I wouldn't recommend that approach. The better technique is to use readily available tools to fast forward the insights you need so you can spend more time leading and less time playing guessing games. One of my favorite people first tools comes from the Predictive Index. The Predictive Index, affectionately known as PI, makes it easy to understand what each individual on your team needs out of a manager so you can personalize your leadership approach to get the best results. I can tell you with 100% certainty that the PI tools work for me and they'll work for you too. I was first introduced to the Predictive Index way back in 2007 and it changed my leadership. 10 years ago, I joined the company and I've been proud to contribute to the development of talent optimization and the PI tools that make it possible in organizations of all shapes and sizes. Using PI, you can coach, motivate, and develop each of your direct reports on their terms so you can move up in your career with less stress. Visit predictiveindex.com to learn more. To make it even easier for you, I'll put a link in the show notes. And now, let's get back to the show. It's really interesting when you think about it. Now I'm on a global team. You know, we have this need to be agile and flexible because things are changing and evolving, and we have to have scalability. I can see very much why you said that it's the will. The only way you can fight through all this complexity is when you're energized by that mission, that drive to help other people learn in a way that betters their work lives and probably their life lives, like all kinds of stuff.
Yeah. And they do receive great feedback. So I should say, you know, our business sponsors, be it, you know, the chief transformation officer, the COO or the CEO or all of the SVPs, they take active interest in every single, you know, facilitator, trainer, learning business partner, and they value them. And we actually have, I've implemented a QBR system. So each learning business partner, along with the learning delivery lead or the facilitator, they present results on a quarterly basis to the business teams using a dashboard. So we're very metrics driven. And this is a, you know, solutions company, staffing company. People learn, love numbers. So we provide trends. We provide insights to them on how are their teams doing with respect to learning. Provide them insights on what are some great topics, what are some not so good topics, where are people struggling, what are their L1 and L2 and L3 assessment scores. So we really provide this on a consistent basis, which provides great partnership and thereby the encouragement, right? So once you get that encouragement from the business, the will just grows, it multiplies.
So you've done a great job with your team in terms of the core function, if you will. You've got great partnerships with the business. Let's talk about the individual. One of the more impressive things that I learned from you is that you have an individualized learning plan for every employee at Innova. That's 10,000 people. Like, can you tell me a little bit more about how that works?
It didn't work perfectly right away. So let me start with that, right? It took a while. And clearly when we started, you know, the focus was always on new hires. So every new hire should have had anywhere from 3 weeks to 6 months of training. So we have like variations of these programs depending on the role. And a lot of time, resources, and investment in these employees to make sure that we are, you know, enabling them to be successful. That was our first area of focus. So parallelly, we started focusing on, okay, what about different job roles? We'd like to get to levels, but because of all the constant M&As, it tends to be, levels do shift quite a bit. So that's also happening like at the next level. So where we focused on is based on your role in the company, you would have a learning plan, which is kind of determined by some core topics, which is, right from orientation to some behavioral and communications topics, depending on what business function are you in, and a whole focus on functional. So if you are a consultant delivering, solution services and cybersecurity for a particular client, what would your coursework really look like? So kind of gathering the learning paths on that. And we've generated over 100 plus learning paths at this point, be it functional, be it technical. And obviously the challenge for us is how do we constantly assign it to the right teams? And we've come, it did take us some time to ensure that we've got the right algorithm in the back end, which then leads to insightful metrics. So much so that now we can report on optimization on are people meeting their learning plans? Are people completing them? Is it even meaningful? Should we go back and revisit these learning plans? Which we always do. We never take the learning plan as, done. It's not set in stone. So we like to review it at least twice a year. And maybe the business would say, yes, good, keep going. Otherwise, we go back and take another look at it.
So many times we see that we'll create helpful content or something that in the moment it was great, but then we move on and we don't go back. And then things get outdated very, very quickly.
It sounds like
you've got a great healthy balance between how do we develop new things to meet the future of the business, but also go back on the things that are in place that could be optimized a little bit. It's sort of a two-minded approach there.
And also, right, we have to leverage technology, and I don't want to get too much into it, but we are now looking at how can we incorporate AI to start looking at skills inventory, because, while this is great, obviously there are so many different LMSs, how do we assign, how do we enable it? And we'd like to move more towards an AI methodology of really, Matt, you join Innova tomorrow. You just have to go say, hey, how do I do my job? What are my skills? What skills do I need? What courses do I have? So we are building towards that. And everything is a makeshift support framework until we get to our ideal state. That's why I think it's exciting for us, because it's not set in stone. There's always constant innovation as our company, Innova.
And again, one more callback to where the will is there, you can absorb that amount of change. But if the will weren't there, if they were like, oh, I just had this, now you're changing it on me, then all of a sudden you're like, yeah, that's not going to be a great fit for what we're being asked to do.
Absolutely. And by the way, I don't want to paint a very, perfect picture. We've had employees who it's not, we can't be judgmental. What if you don't have the will? That doesn't make them any better or worse, right? So we do have, we ensure that we assign them to the roles where, every role has a certain tolerance for ambiguity. Yeah. So we do have different roles. So we ensure that we are, because everybody is so flexible and diverse in their skill sets, we do, move people to different roles within the LNOD team. We have 5 different services, right, within the LNOD: learning business partners, learning delivery, which is the facilitators and trainers. We have instructional designers. We also have a special focus on learning tools and learning metrics. So within all of these 5 different areas, if maybe they would be a better fit somewhere else. So we would easily move people around. So we ensure that we're setting them up to succeed.
So they might say, I have the will. I definitely want to help people learn, but this nature of what I've been doing is not the great fit. I might want to try something over here when it comes to either metrics and outcomes, or here with delivery. And then they could kind of move around a little bit.
We've had multiple people do that. And the ultimate goal for everybody in our team is, how are we enabling everybody to succeed? So a classic example is somebody that we hired to manage our LMS tool. But because of our business need, we needed him to be a trainer. So he quickly wore a different hat because he had the will. We had another, now he's wearing dual hat because we actually need him to help with a new tool implementation. So he's flexible. So he's showing agility. And we had another person, she's always managed tools, but she is probably the best stakeholder skills ever. So we moved her to a learning business partner, happy, super happy. So as long as we provide them the environment to thrive, it'll work out.
I like that a lot. And I think the sponsor of the podcast, the Predictive Index, many fewer employees, you're talking about less than 250 employees. But even at that company that size, you start seeing people moving around because they want to try a different function or a different role. And we call it talent optimization when we move somebody from one function to another, because you're like, okay, we just made an optimal change here for somebody. Yeah. And so you don't have to be as big if you're listening and you're like, well, we don't have 10,000 employees. Well, you don't have to have that many. There's still opportunities to take people who have the intention, they're on board with your mission, and they just need to make a change because of either functionally not a fit, or they just want to grow and contribute. They've been doing something for a long time. Maybe I've been working in the equivalent of a call center for a while, and now I want to try something else. You know, that's an option you have to let people move around, which is pretty great. I think that the other thing that's really interesting to me is when you think about these new hires is the nature to come on board very quickly and to assimilate. And the one thing you mentioned, that some people can tolerate ambiguity better than others. One thing we know from the research is that early career professionals are looking for growth and development. And they're not always getting it. And when they don't, they might leave your company. So you worked really hard to recruit them. And then they're like, I don't think I can grow here. I'm gone. So I could see where the type of having a very clear learning program with lots of permutations, as you've described it, removes that ambiguity. And now the employee is thinking, you're investing in me. You've laid out a plan for me. It's either helping me to grow in my role, or it's something I'm interested in.
Yeah.
Huge.
You said it really well, right? Like, I feel like all business leaders have that intention. I think the learning team has the ability to articulate the vision of the leader to the employee, and we should optimize that for the business.
Nice. Yeah, it's so true. And that's where that partnership again coming through. It's not as if learning's over here and it's separate from, you know, where the work gets done in some way. I'm hearing a lot of really tight integration, which is really nice.
You know, learning teams should earn a seat at the table. Mm-hmm. It's very easy for learning to become a support function, which we are. No doubt about it. We are a support function. But every support function should be at the business table. And speaking with metrics and tight partnerships is what earns you a seat at that table.
Yeah, you mentioned that. And a lot of times in organizations, we think about learning as kind of soft. You know, it's like with something we know we probably should do, but maybe we don't budget for it as well, or we don't make time for it, or whatever it might be. How do you approach sort of thinking about, you mentioned it a little bit, where you talk about pulling up dashboards and relating it to the business. Tell me a little bit more about how you approach data and analytics from starting with learning, but ending up in the business.
Right. And see, earlier I said that, you know, we're a solutions company, staffing company, metrics matter. I think we're at a point of time in life where metrics matter, period. It doesn't even matter what industry you're in. People are always paying attention to metrics because the ease of availability now compared to many years ago. And of course, attendance, you know, historically reporting on attendance, and we still have to do it. You can't not do it, especially from a compliance perspective, right? You do need attendance report. But how innovative are we with reporting is critical. I can tell you, there's one particular department where, you know, they're more interested to see how many people register and don't show up. They're more interested in that particular metric. We have another department that's more interested to see what technology stack was really kind of consumed by whom and where and what level, right? So having that information and not just like screenshot of a particular tool and sending it, but really investing time to really understand, is this the right learning path for a particular employee? And have they completed it? If they have they really demonstrated skills? Are they showing proficiency? So these are all the questions we tend to ask within the team. And the final dashboard tends to be like a live dashboard. We use Power BI, where we kind of pull in data from all of our different technical learning platforms, you know, functional learning platforms, our own internal, you know, 88 courses, all the compliance trainings, leadership development, masterclasses, vendor trainings. We have sources from all over the place, and we just streamline it all in one place. And we have a dashboard that really captures month by month trend, quarter by quarter trend. Everybody here, it's a very competitive company, I would say, within leadership team. So we have a leaderboard with all of the departments, and we show trends and patterns in terms of who's doing better. We are even implementing a learning resolution challenge. We're going to come up with a wonderful trophy to give out to department leaders that will go on rotation. So we leverage the competitive side by reporting metrics that make them pay attention to learning. So effectiveness and efficiency. How long did it take us to deploy? So we actually have a particular client right now, and we needed to certify all of our team members to complete a particular training before we can deploy them. The entire team worked together within 3 days. We created a course and deployed it and launched it to people. Another week, we had everybody completed it, and everybody was at the client site. So reporting on metrics such as deployment time, creation time, launch time, completion time, attendance, but also more centered on registrations, And more than anything, L1, L2, L3, L4. L4, we don't use it everywhere. It's more of a partnership. L3, too, we use it for select programs. But every one of our programs, we automate L1 and L2 assessments, and we report on knowledge retention metrics. We call it knowledge absorption metrics. So we've come up with our equation for it. Everybody who goes through a certain amount of classes, we measure how much of information are they retaining. And we kind of give them periodic quizzes. And all of this is automated through our system, backend systems. And we report it. And in the dashboard, we know by department, by the company, by department, by leader, and by manager, what are their learning absorption metrics of their employees. So that's the level of detail that we report on a monthly basis. It's a live dashboard. We send it out every month.
I think it's critical when you have organizations that are dependent on ability to learn to drive their strategy. So it makes total sense how you've ended up in this spot. And I think when I work with other executive teams, for example, many times what we find is that if the performance is lacking, it's because there's some skill set or capability, a capacity inside of one or more teams that's lacking. And that's an opportunity to either hire from the outside, not always possible with an indefinite talent shortage. What about coach and develop and train from within? Now you're seeing that, hey, if we're not actually learning where we know we have gaps, then we're absolutely setting ourselves up to struggle.
Exactly, right? And it's, you need, and that's the job of the learning team, asking that tough question, how should we evolve? We should constantly be evolving. And I think about the Illinois team. I understand technology to a certain extent. I'm definitely not the expert. But even if I'm working with the technology team, how do I ask them the right questions to keep them up to date on the best of technology stacks, to keep them always current? And that's important. You need a function that's holding themselves accountable and the leadership and the business accountable to, you know, collectively develop the company, not just a single individual.
Yeah, and I think you're doing a fabulous job, obviously, of connecting sort of the what drives the business, the things that the need for scalability, the use of technology, integrating with, you know, you mentioned a client-facing team that was going to be tripped up if we didn't get a certain learning outcome to that team before we can put people on site. We've got to get them through. So we have to invent something. Like, it's very much they're just threaded together. The nature of the business and the learning, you can't even separate the two in your conversation as you're having it.
And then intentionally, and that's very important for us, right? I often think about the viability and sustainability of learning in any function, because as you just said earlier, it might be considered soft. And I never want that branding for any of my team members here. We are active business partners, and I'm very particular that it stays like that for each and every one of us here.
Well, and I think you're obviously a very persuasive person. And what I didn't mention at the top is you've actually wrote a book about the subject called The Serial Influencer. And so my question for you, Akshata, is when you think about this ability, where did you develop it? And if a reader picks up the book, The Serial Influencer, what will they find in it?
Very close to my heart, the book, right? I feel like it comes back to a lot of my life lessons over the last few years. All my life, I've been taught to be a good influencer, you know, be collaborative, influence people, sell an idea, sell a vision. All that's great. And over time, I think very early on, I realized that it's got very short-term success. Yes, you know, people are always impressed, especially when it comes to learning, because you can become a one-time wonder. Oh, this is a fantastic idea, sold it. Oh, this is a great class I attended. What next? How do you consistently stay relevant? How does your entire learning team stay relevant? How do you as an individual, as an influencer, how do you always stay relevant is a critical part of how you can succeed and how you can enable your entire team to or function to succeed. And what I've realized is, especially when it comes to influencing, we always think of it as stakeholder versus influencer exchange, but that's never true. There are multiple other entities that we all just put them under a stakeholder bucket, which is always not true. You have to separate it out, which is the whole thing I was what I talked about. What business problem are you trying to solve? There is a broader environmental or business factor impacting the stakeholders and the influencer. So I've learned that early on, that you have to navigate nuances, always understand the environment around you. So awareness, articulation, the right consistent action, and amplification, which is like do more, continuously do more. These are four must-haves to be a serial influencer. You cannot be an influencer anymore. You have to be a serial influencer. People come back to you over and over and over again only if you're a serial influencer.
Well, and I think you've proven it in your career. You've proven it in the work that you're doing. I love it. I'll give you my easiest question, Akshata. Where can my listeners go to learn more about you and about the book?
Well, I'm always happy. Please reach out LinkedIn. Please do reach out anytime. I love a good chat. As you guys can see, I'm passionate about learning, talent development. That's everything that I stand for and believe for. So I'm always happy to talk more. You can find more about my book on Amazon.com. So it's available. Please do. There's an ebook version. There is a paperback, hardcover. Please choose your own preference. I'd love to hear about your feedback. This is a huge topic of, it's very close to my heart. So I would love to get feedback from anybody and everybody. And there is also a masterclass link that I do offer with the book. So please do sign up for it if you're interested, and always happy to chat more.
I love it. And listeners, I'm going to have those links for you in the show notes. You're only one click away from meeting Akshata and learning more about her book and her masterclass. Akshata, thank you so much for being with me today. I appreciate all the great insights you shared with my audience.
Anytime. I love it. Thank you so much for having me.
Here are my ludicrously learned top three takeaways from today's episode. 1, seek agility. The future is uncertain, so we need to be flexible. Embrace a culture of testing and iteration that builds on established principles and practices without being constrained by them. 2, will over have. When building a team, don't get too hung up on demonstrated experience. High potential performers who have the will to do the job will adapt and persevere when given the chance. 3, get down to business. As a support function leader, you likely find your work very interesting. Ensure that you can also draw a thick line to how what you do drives business results. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider leaving a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. Strong reviews help shows like mine get noticed. And be sure to subscribe to this podcast so you don't miss your next opportunity to learn, lead, and live at your best. Thanks for making this investment in your leadership ability, and thanks for sharing this podcast with another aspiring leader who needs to hear it. All right, leaders, until next time, don't just manage the business when you can lead the people.